Sports Talk 750.
Hi, I'm looking for Ray Finkel and a clean pair of shorts.
There was a time in this country when sports were revered. But people today, their values were all out of whack.
Artest looking, gets it to Bryant. Bryant dribbling, has to put it up with the buzzer. Banks it in! And the Lakers win the game!
But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward.
Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier! Down goes Frazier!
Put that coffee down.
Coffee's for closers only.
John Stockton sends the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals!
And I'm just ferocious. I want your heart. I want to eat his children. Praise be to Allah.
Welcome to another edition of Drive Time Sports. It's KOAL 107.3 FM. And 7:50 a.m. I'm your host, Jordan Buscarini, and we're going to go over some of my favorite segments, best of style, here to wrap up this week of Drive Time Sports. Boy, it was a fun one, that's for sure. We crowned our World Series champion. The Houston Astros topped the Los Angeles Dodgers in a classic seven-game series, one of the best that I've seen in quite some time. But there's other events going on outside of baseball. The NBA season, it's heating up. We're almost 3 weeks into it already, and the Utah Jazz continue to pass with flying colors at home. Got to log some victories on the road, but at home, they've been very good. We'll talk about that today on this Best Of edition of Drive Time Sports. The USU Eastern Volleyball Squad, they are participating in tournament action right now in Ephraim. We caught up with Vice Chancellor Greg Dart earlier on in the week, and we'll replay that for you. Plus, this Saturday, UFC 217, that represents the return of George St. Pierre. He'll be going toe-to-toe with Michael Bisping. A lot of hype building around this. Plus, it's taking place at Madison Square Garden. Epic place for a fight. Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio joined us earlier in the week to discuss that. That's what we have coming up for you. It'll be a fun Best Of edition on KOAL 107.3 FM and 7:50 a.m. when we return.
Do you have any big home improvement projects coming up? Maybe a bathroom remodel, kitchen cabinets, or a new pole building? If so, Sutherland's is here to help with special financing for purchases on your Sutherland's credit card. Spend $299 or more on a purchase, and you will qualify for 6 months special financing. Spend over $599 and qualify for 12 months. And purchases of $999 or more will get 18 months. It's the perfect time to tackle any upcoming projects. Sutherland's, helping you build it better.
Check everything off your Christmas list this year with the help of Desert View Federal Credit Union. Come into a branch today and take advantage of their low-rate holiday loan special. Just in time for the holidays, you can borrow up to $1,000 for just 7.99% for 12 months. That's a whole lot more jingle in your pocket, which means you can spread a lot more Christmas cheer. Desert View Federal Credit Union, your holiday helper.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With eFiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up, stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom 613-9605.
Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, adjacent to Castleview Urgent Care, will open this fall. At Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, they offer home delivery as well as a convenient drive-through window. The pharmacists and pharmacy techs at Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy are there to help you get your prescriptions filled and make sure you understand how you're supposed to take it to get you on track to better health. Pinnacle Peak Pharmacy, great service with a smile.
You are listening to the Best of Drive Time Sports from October 30th through November 3rd.
This is Derek Favors, number 15 from the Utah Jazz. You're listening to Drive Time Sports with Jordan Buscarini.
3-point game, Harris. Pick and roll it. Favors takes it strong and one. Oh my. Watch Derek Favors take a leap right here.
We're back on Drive Time Sports, KOAL 107.3 FM, 7:50 a.m. We're going to talk basketball and a little more baseball as well. Joining us right now, we have Jamison Welsh, great friend of mine from BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Jamison, a pleasure as always to get you on. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Oh, not a problem at all. Thanks for having me, as always.
Yeah, we just got done talking about Game 7 of the World Series, and so I have to ask you the same question. Tonight, it's just a unique feel. It's been one of the greatest World Series that I can remember in quite some time. What's it like in Las Vegas?
Well, it's crazy because a lot of people don't know which side to go on. There's a lot of people betting props. So there's a lot of different things going on right now. The lines have been swinging, drastically one way or another. Like, for instance, yesterday, the Astros start out being favored, and then next thing you know, the Dodgers are favored by minus 140. So whenever you see a 50 or a 60-cent swing like that, that's very odd. You don't see that often. So that's kind of where we're at now. And, Dodgers are favored tonight to take it home. We'll see if they follow through. The Astros have a great lineup, especially in the top five of their guys. So we'll see. It really comes down to styles. I mean, the Astros want to get you in the shootout. The Dodgers really want to keep the runs, they want to keep the runs under. They want to go under the total amount. So we'll see what takes place. But they're, both teams have a good shot of winning. I mean, nothing was surprising tonight.
Let's talk NBA basketball. And yesterday being Halloween, typically, at least when I was growing up, that was the start of the NBA season. Maybe you'd get a game on October 30th, but October 31st, that was the start of the NBA season. Obviously not the case now. You take a look at some of these teams, they're already seven games deep into the season, and this was put in place to eliminate the number of back-to-backs. But now that we're seven games into it, had a short slate of basketball last night, got a full slate tonight. And I think one of the games, Jameson, I'm going to start with one of the teams I obviously have to talk about, and that's the Cleveland Cavaliers. They take on the Indiana Pacers tonight. This is a team that I wouldn't normally be too concerned about, knowing that they have LeBron James. Yet seven games into the regular season, I have seen some very, very noticeable flaws on this squad that don't have anything to do with playing possum or getting out to a slow start. This team has holes.
Yeah, they're old and slow. I mean, basketball is a young man's game.
And small.
You're old and slow. Yeah, yeah, right. And, if you're old and slow and small, you're going to have a lot of issues. I mean, that's just kind of how it goes. They got older over the offseason. I wasn't a big fan of some of their moves. My whole thing is this. You got to be able to move your guys that are playing front court positions have to be able to move laterally. They have to be able to get up and down the court, move side to side, and they have to be able to rotate the shooters. And right now, their big guys, including LeBron James, struggle to rotate, whether they don't have the energy to or whether they're just not able to. They struggle to rotate. So that's just kind of what it is right now. And until they get younger or more athletic on that roster, they're going to have similar problems. And my thing is this. It might come to the point where they have to trade Kevin Love or Tristan Thompson just to get someone a little bit more athletic that can help out with their situation.
They're going to have to make a move at some point in time. Has to happen. No doubt about it. This team is not good enough to contend for an NBA championship. And I also think this will kind of represent a year for Cleveland in which you go all in. You know, maybe over the last couple of years, you hold your cards close. You know, you don't necessarily have to expose everything. But I view 2017, 2018 as a game seven for the Cavaliers, which means if you're Kobe Altman, you have to go all in at some point in time.
You do have to go all in, but you have to be careful because there's a lot of unknown situations going on. And if you have a lottery pick in next year's draft, you've got to keep it because you cannot trade that pick. And, next you know, end up losing all your star players and you have nothing to show for it. So you got to be very careful. But I do think right now, I don't think anyone's off limits right now. I think if you're trying to build a championship team and you look at that roster, I mean, you got to do what you got to do to make it work. So we'll see what happens. But right now, they have to get younger and more athletic at a lot of positions. They just have a lot of older guys. Even Derrick Rose starting at the point guard position, he's not necessarily an older guy, but he's not as fast as he used to be. He's not this guy that's going to be going up and down the court every possession. He has his moments and his spurts, but he's not the guy that's going to be racing up and down the court every possession. So they have some issues. And the guys they brought in, Jeff Green, Crowder, Dwayne Wade, though they re-signed Korver, those guys, they're good players, but they're slow players. So when there's a missed shot, other teams are getting the rebound and pushing on them, and they can't stop it. There's nothing they can do to stop that. It's not a skill issue. It's just, this is a personnel issue.
Stick with the Eastern Conference. I want to talk about the Boston Celtics. They lose Gordon Hayward on opening night. They fall to the Cleveland Cavaliers. They lose the next game, and since that point, they've been unbeaten. 5-2 at the top of the Eastern Conference standings. Kyrie Irving has been very good so far this season, averaging just under 22 points a contest. He's also handing out a couple of five or six assists a game. He's been rebounding, actually. I've seen Kyrie actually crash the boards this year in Boston on a couple of different occasions. Jaylen Brown has been very good. Al Horford, well, he doesn't necessarily look like the Al Horford of old. He's a double-double guy. Jason Tatum actually has looked pretty good for this team. Everything seemed gloom and doom in Boston, and maybe rightfully so, considering everything bad that happened in the first game of the season. Yet Boston, don't count these guys out. I think a lot of people thought when Gordon Hayward went down, they lacked the depth. I was one of those guys, but I've liked what I've seen from Boston over the past five games.
Right, and I don't know if you mentioned Jason Tatum, but he's another guy I can play as well. My thing with Gordon Hayward is this. I think he's a solid player. I don't think he's a guy that makes or breaks your team, like even with the Jazz. They lost him. They replaced him with some role players. They didn't really lose a whole lot. You know, they kind of have the same type of situation. So I never thought Gordon Hayward was the guy that's going to, oh, they have him now. They're going to be a championship contender. I mean, he's a good piece to have, but he's not the guy. So they can get by without him for a while. They would need him more for a playoff run. That's when they need a guy like that. But they are okay. I mean, they have Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who are two big wings that can play pretty well. And then they have Marcus Smart, who's improved his jump shot and been more consistent on that end. So they're okay. Plus, they're well coached. You know, Brad Stevens is a top five coach in the league. So they're going to be fine as long as Kyrie's healthy and Horford stays healthy. They'll be okay. They have a nice foundation. They just have to get more consistency from their young guys. If they get the same consistency, they'll be right there at the end.
Again, our guest right now is Jameson Wells, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. A team that I don't expect to maintain the level of consistency that they've, you know, portrayed over the first seven games of the season, but a team that's fun to watch. It's the Orlando Magic. They're 5-2. They have a better record in the win column than Washington or Toronto. And again, I know it's only seven games into the season, but the one guy I have to mention, and I just don't think he's getting enough pub for the way he has played so far, Aaron Gordon looks phenomenal so far this season. That is not an overstatement, Jameson. I don't know how much Orlando Magic basketball you have watched, but Aaron Gordon looks legit this year.
No, he looks like the guy we thought was coming out of Arizona, the guy that can play a bunch of positions, that's going to be very active. And it looks like he finally got a jump shot, so now he looks really legitimate. So for me, I look at him like he's a guy that's going to be pretty solid. He looks like a guy that can actually play. So we'll see exactly what happens going forward. But if he can hit the outside shot consistently, then they have a good situation there, because as long as he's playing well, they're going to go, because Jonathan Simmons is a really good role player. He's not a star player. If Aaron Gordon can be that guy that's getting 20 a night, they're in really good shape.
I don't want to beat a dead horse. I've said this a million times on the show, and I'm going to stick with it. The most entertaining team, in my opinion, in the Eastern Conference to watch, if you have the league pass, watch the Toronto Raptors. I've had a lot of fun watching Toronto so far this season. I think that's the team that's going to be there, maybe make a run and get to the NBA Finals this year if the problems continue to consist in Cleveland. I like Toronto. I like what they have built. Who's the most entertaining team from your perspective in the Eastern Conference?
Man, Toronto is definitely one of them. Orlando has been good, but, you know, I'm going with the Pacers. The Pacers have been playing up and down basketball, scoring in the hundreds. You know, they've been doing all right, better than we all expected. I think that's the key. Playing better than we expect is always the key for that title. So I would go with the Pacers. When they lost Paul George, and they, you know, they really didn't bring a whole lot back, we thought they were tanking. Now they bring in Oladipo, who's been playing well. Sabonis has been playing well. And now it looks like a team that's going to be fun to watch throughout the season. So they're in good shape going forward.
Jameson, let's move over to the West. We'll talk about the Utah Jazz. Here's a team that, as far as the Jazz go, they haven't won on the road. The good news is they haven't lost at home. So because of that, the Jazz, as far as the Northwest goes, are at 4-3 right now, tied with three other teams. And again, records at this point in time, they mean very little. I get that. But coming up tonight, the Jazz have a game at home that I think is going to be a true test for them. They get the Portland Trail Blazers. Now, this is a team that I believe will have an extreme advantage at home at Vivint Smart Home Arena. They just play that style of basketball, and they feed off of the crowd. With that being said, do you agree with me that tonight's a real test for this team?
It is a test to an extent. I mean, Portland's a playoff type of team, so it's always good to see. I mean, Portland also has a back-to-back tomorrow night as well, so we'll see how that goes. But no, that's always a big test. You have two of the best, you know, guards in this league coming in to your town, and they're looking to, you know, put up numbers. You know, Dame went to college in that area, so he's always going to look to show out. And they also have Nurkic, who's got a pretty on the radar center, so we'll definitely see what happens. But personally, the Jazz at home, that's a different beast. I saw the game the other night when they played Dallas. They were down like 15 early, and then end up winning by 15. So that's just kind of how they operate. That defense, when they lock in, it's really tough to score consistently on them.
Yeah, without Gordon Hayward this year, and again, you mentioned it, he's not a make-or-break type guy that's going to completely just destroy a team if he's not playing for that team. But you and I believe we agreed that this was Rodney Hood's opportunity to kind of step up and prove that he is one, if not the best, perimeter player on this Jazz squad. So far this season, Jameson, he's averaging 17 points a game. Are you happy with what you've seen from Rodney Hood?
I can live with that. I need to see a couple more points a game, but I can live with that. The key for him is consistency in defense. If he can give a great effort on defense and still get between 17 and 19 points a game, you got a guy that's going to be in good shape. Plus, he's young. So that's all you want if you're a Jazz fan. You want to see him be consistent every night, and you want to see his defensive intensity every night. And as long as he has those two things, you're going to be all right.
Memphis Grizzlies at the top of the Western Conference at 5-2. How long does that last?
Well, as long as Chandler Parsons is healthy. I mean, we don't know how long that's going to last, but if he's healthy, they actually have a legitimate third option that can give him 17 a night if he's healthy. If he's not, then we know how that goes. I don't know how long he can stay healthy, but while he's healthy, he's played relatively well this season. So we'll see, but they are very thin after their starters. So, they're relying on Ben McLemore coming back from the G League and stuff like that. So that's always tricky. But, hey, if Chandler Parsons is healthy for 70 games this year, they got a shot at getting to the playoffs.
Jameson Welsh, BelieveTheHypeNBA.com. Before I let you go, let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Always on here once a week, Fox Sports 1340 in New Mexico and Las Vegas, ESPN 1100 in Vegas, and also BelieveTheHypeNBA.com.
Jameson, it's always fun. I know we'll do it again next week.
Not a problem. Thanks for having me.
Always, definitely. Jameson Welsh joining us here to talk some NBA basketball. Again, give him a follow on Twitter, @TheJameson. We've got a break for just a moment. We'll come back, put the final touches on this Wednesday edition of Drive Time Sports.
Mom guilt. We all feel it. Our after-school hours are packed with games, practices, lessons, homework. Between work, grocery shopping, laundry, cleaning the house, how do you do it all and still get a delicious meal on the table every night? Moms, it's time to let it go. KFC has dinner covered. Pick up an 8-piece meal deal tonight. KFC's Extra Crispy $20 fill-up has 8 pieces of crunchy extra crispy chicken, a large coleslaw, 4 biscuits, and 2 large mashed potatoes and gravy. Enough for the whole family. Feed the family and make it to all your events, too. With KFC, it's always a win-win.
Hello, this is Dr. Blake Hillstead from Castle Valley Orthodontics. We are a state-of-the-art orthodontic office specializing in braces and Invisalign for children, teenagers, and adults. We provide complimentary consultations to help you achieve the best smile possible. We accept most insurance plans in Carbon and Emory counties and also accept all Medicaid insurance plans. In addition, we offer flexible in-house financing at 0% interest to make orthodontic treatment fit within any budget. Call for a free consultation with me, Dr. Blake Hillstead, at 435-637-2222.
There was a day when you could gather your employees around a table for a morning staff meeting, pull out a box of donuts, and everyone got excited. Well, sorry, boss, it just isn't working anymore. We've discovered Big Mo's breakfast menu with a choice of several homemade breads for toast, eggs cooked up just how I like them, and the pancakes. Mmm, so delicious. Dare to change things up to get your staff's attention and have your next morning meeting at Big Mo's. Friendly service, delicious food, and great prices. Find them on 700 East in Price.
Hi, this is Joe Peterson, Chancellor of USU Eastern. I'm here to brag a little bit about some of the amazing students we have representing the college. I'd like to recognize our volleyball, softball, and soccer teams for the time and service they're giving to our local elementary students by helping with reading programs and other school programs. Thank you, student-athletes, for being role models to our youngest community members and for helping to make the future a little brighter because of your efforts. For more stories about the incredible student body we have here at USU Eastern, see our website, usueastern.edu.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports from October 30th through November 3rd.
You're listening to Drive Time Sports on KOAL AM 750, the play-by-play home of the USU Eastern Eagles.
We're down to the final couple of competitions for the fall sports season. In fact, the women's volleyball squad for USU Eastern will participate in the region and the conference tournament this weekend. After that, we're done as far as fall sports. This weekend we get basketball, both the women and the men for USU Eastern. They'll be competing in Casper, Wyoming. A lot happening with USU Eastern athletics in general. Joining us right now to talk a bit about that, we have USU Eastern Vice Chancellor Greg Dart. Greg, always a pleasure. I appreciate you stopping by.
Thanks so much for having me.
Definitely, Greg. Let's dive right into it and start talking about the fall sports season, because it's not quite over yet. In fact, we have a very busy weekend coming up for the volleyball team. But outside of that, soccer has wrapped up, and actually basketball's off and rolling to pick up on the winter side of things. But let's start by talking about the soccer squads. I know you were down at the conference tournament in Henderson. Southern Nevada played host to it. There were some exciting games. The women actually represented in the conference championship game. So all in all, it was a fun weekend of soccer.
It was a very good weekend. A lot of excitement. The women, very exciting game over Salt Lake, and penalty kicks ended up winning to get into the championship. And, you know, they lost to the eventual champion Snow, who Snow has not lost a game all year on the women's side. Unbelievable team. And I mean, it really seemed like that that overtime penalty kick win over Salt Lake, when you play, you know, two days in a row, a game like that on the first day make it a little bit more difficult. Yeah. But the women took the region runner-up award and were played an amazing tournament. It was really exciting. On the men's side, they had to start with the host school, and that's never a good thing to be playing a team on their own field. And it didn't go their way in that game, but represented well and had representation on the all-region team and the all-tournament team. So pretty exciting weekend.
I haven't been able to catch up with Coach Bennett yet. Our schedules just haven't meshed up to this point, so we haven't gotten our season wrap-up interview. But from a vice chancellor standpoint, how happy are you with the way the soccer teams performed this year?
Very happy. I think that this year there was an understanding, especially on the women's side, that they were going to be very young, that there was a lot of sophomore talent last year that left, and so it was going to be a freshman-heavy team. And to see them get to that championship game, I think, bodes very well for where they're going to be next year as well, and to see them come together that way. On the men's side, I don't think there's any question that this is the most competitive conference, and it's crazy to say that 2 years in, but you've got three, potentially four teams on the men's side that could go and compete with anybody in the country. And so it's exciting to see what's happening with soccer, and to see, you know, a conference that didn't exist 2 years ago now have five teams, and within another year or two, that could be up to seven. It could be the biggest sport in our conference, and it didn't exist 2 years ago. And so it's definitely changed the way that we recruit. It's changed the product that we need to put on the field to be competitive, just because Salt Lake, Snow, College of Southern Nevada are all putting very competitive products on the field, both on the men's and women's side.
You know, and I talked to you about this before, and I got to go back to it, because at the end of every soccer year, it becomes more and more obvious that soccer is growing here in this local area. And I firmly believe that USU Eastern is not solely responsible, but they, you know, a large part of why soccer has grown here in the community is because of what you guys have been able to accomplish in such a short period of time at the school.
I think there's an excitement that comes from any kind of competition at a very high level. And so when you look at soccer and to see what happened at Carbon High School, that they were on the cusp of starting a team when it didn't make a lot of sense to start soccer, yet they did. And mm-hmm. And so there's been a love in this community for a while, but to see it come in at this level and be able to see that kind of excitement, I think really helps it as well. What PYSA does, what Carbon Rec does, to have both a rec and have traveling teams at all ages, it's growing to see the fields that are taking place and being built right now on our campus, to see what the county has done to invest in fields, to see what the high school has done to invest in fields. This is a community that just a few years ago, you couldn't find great soccer fields anywhere. And now we've got enough that we could host tournaments, competitive tournaments for throughout the state. Those things are happening in such a short amount of time. It seems long when you're waiting to play on it, but man, it's happening quickly.
And I don't think that you guys could have picked a better candidate to start up a soccer program than Coach Bennett. His attitude is perfect for a team that's trying to get competitive and start. I mean, and you guys, it was like baptism under fire for this team when you guys first started. You were traveling to Texas and all over for, didn't play any home games. It just seems like Coach Bennett was the perfect guy for this job.
I can't even imagine a better coach than Coach Bennett in every way possible. That not only is he just a great coach and puts together a competitive program, but what he's meant for building that program. You know, with soccer up until last year, you were looking at 18 letters of intent or scholarships on both the men and women's side. So 36 spots on scholarship. And he had 80 to 90 student athletes. And so we fielded a third team, a junior varsity men's team. This year, they upped the number of letters of intent to 24 on each side. And even with two other teams in the state, even with them recruiting the same student athletes, we're still at 90 soccer players. It's amazing what he's done to build the program. And when you talk to other people who know him across the country, nobody's surprised at the success he's having here because they know the success he's had everywhere he's been.
It's definitely been impressive. Again, we're joined right now by Greg Dart, USU Eastern Vice Chancellor. Greg, with that being said, once we get past, you know, the next couple of weeks, volleyball will be complete. They're actually traveling for the conference tournament this weekend.
Yeah, so our volleyball team will be in Ephraim this weekend for the conference tournament. Very exciting season for the volleyball team, and are excited to go into the conference tournament. So they will start on Friday against Colorado Northwestern, and if they can get by them, then they have CSI waiting. Kind of strange how it worked with volleyball this year. You had a three-way tie on top of the conference between Snow, CSI, and Salt Lake, and they each beat each other, but didn't lose much else throughout the entire season, conference or non-conference. To have three teams that have legitimately spent most of the time in the top 10 and four teams out of six that have been ranked for the bulk of the year, with Utah State Eastern being the other, once again, there's no question, absolutely no question, that this is the most competitive conference in volleyball in the country.
And I think it's the most competitive volleyball team that I can remember at USU Eastern.
Yeah, so this team has been ranked throughout the year and lost very few in non-conference, and has been competitive throughout the conference season as well. And so it is what Coach Danielle Jensen has done, and Stacey Mortensen with that team is nothing short of amazing. They are competing at the highest level, and it's exciting going into tournament. I fully expect to see them on Friday evening playing against CSI for a chance for something more.
Now, while we don't want to jump too far ahead, but we are on the cusp of basketball season. In fact, this weekend, both the men and the women will travel to Casper, Wyoming. It's a grind. The college basketball season is a grind at the JUCO level. For those who are unaware, it's the longest collegiate season. And that, I mean, we're talking D1, D2, D3. I mean, it's the longest. Junior college basketball spans the longest time frame of any sport for college.
It is. A grind is the best way to describe it. You know, things start in October. You really get in November in earnest from the 1st of November. But man, it is a grind. It takes a toll, and it's exciting though. And we'll have home games starting here in a week. You'll see conference play starting in January. And once again, very exciting, a very exciting conference schedule, a very exciting schedule. And I think we've got a returning All-American on the women's side. We've got very high hopes on the men's side. Exciting year for basketball as well.
Yeah, so the third year, which you can't believe it's year three already, of coach Morgan Warburton-Nelson and Chelsea Warburton. 3 years these two have been together now. I can't believe how fast time flies. And then on the men's side, we have Coach Ray Jones, who's a lot of fun joining Coach Vando this year. I've had a blast getting Coach Jones here in the studio. It's a fun environment around the basketball teams.
It is. There's no question. And I think if you look at the talent level that we have this year, there is a lot of reason to be excited. On the women's side, I don't think anybody questioned that what Coach Warburton and Coach Nelson would be able to put together, and you know, a few years of recruiting, and they're all their recruits, and they've got probably as much talent as we've seen in quite some time there. On the men's side, Coach Vando brings something as far as international recruiting that is hard to replicate. And then to have Coach Jones, who spent time in this state, played at SUU, understands junior college because he played in junior college, and just the excitement that he brings, it's an exciting time.
Yeah, definitely is. In basketball, Greg Dart just said, it is a grind, but it's a fun grind. And I also, Greg, we can touch on this briefly before I let you go. The conference schedule's changed up a little bit this year. We're only going to see teams three times this year instead of four. Every coach is going to love that.
Yeah. The only thing that would make them happier is if we had more teams and you only played them twice.
Right.
But yes, instead of four, it will be three, which is tough because it's unbalanced. You play two home and one away, or one home and two away, but it is a better schedule. There's absolutely no question. And you know, those conference games, it's tough every time. And when you go on the road, it's really tough. And nobody likes to go play anywhere in our conference, really, because they know that they're going to get a tough environment. And that's one thing that we've really put a focus on over the last couple of years, is how do we build an environment for those conference games that people are just dreading to come play in Price, because they know that it's going to be loud, it's going to be exciting, there's going to be a lot of people there. We've every year when we've done our fan appreciation night, we've done most of those against Snow College.
They don't like it.
They do not like it at all. The coach says something to me every time, like, how in the world do you have this many people here? And we just tell him it's just for him. So.
Coach Nielsen can handle that, right?
Exactly.
He's been around for a while.
He has.
Greg, it's always fun to get you in and talk athletics. I know we're going to be talking a lot more here very soon. Thank you for the time today.
Thanks so much for having me.
That's Greg Dart, USU Eastern Vice Chancellor, taking out the time to join us and talk athletics. We've got a break for just a moment. More coming up. We'll start wrapping up the baseball season. Last night, the Houston Astros claimed their first World Series championship. They topped the Dodgers 5-1, did all of their damage in the first two innings. We'll talk baseball when we return.
With winter just around the corner, golfing is one sport that just doesn't come to mind. But at TK's Pro Shop, winter is the perfect time to stock up on golfing accessories for Christmas. Just because you can't golf doesn't mean you can't be ready to. Stop into TK's Pro Shop at the Carbon Country Club.
At Emory Medical Center, patients are like family, with the most comprehensive care around, including on-site x-rays and lab work. Emory Medical Center gives quality health care in one convenient location, with doctors and physicians who put the patient first. Emory Medical is excited to announce the return of physician's assistant Lowell Morris. To make an appointment with Lowell or any of the other trusted providers, call 381-2305. Emory Medical Center, your friends, your neighbors, your providers.
Preparing your home for cold weather keeps you warmer and your wallet happy with help from Sutherlands. U.S. Green Fiber Cellulose Insulation is an easy way to add more R-value to your attic. Right now, save $7 a bag and free use of blowing machine with minimum 10-bag purchase. Insulate up to 5 of your existing windows with 3M Shrink Film Kits, super priced at $7. It's also a good time to protect your pipes from freezing temperatures. MD Pipe Insulation starts at 99 cents. Sutherlands, saving you more.
Feeling stressed out lately? It might be because of your slow internet connection. According to recent studies, delays in loading web pages and videos increase our heart rate and produce a level of stress equivalent to watching a horror film. Let Emory Telcom help reduce your stress level. With eFiber from Emory Telcom, you'll get the highest internet speeds available. Internet speeds up stress levels down. Fast downloads and TV like no other. Lower your stress level today and call Emory Telcom 613-9605.
You are listening to the best of Drive Time Sports from October 30th through November 3rd.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to tonight's main event.
We're back on Drive Time Sports and all the hoopla of the World Series, the NBA off and rolling, the NFL, the trade deadline, college football. I mean, it's a busy, busy time in the national sports front. We can't forget about the combat game, mixed martial arts. Coming up this Saturday, we go to Madison Square Garden. The return of George St. Pierre as he takes on Michael Bisping. There's also another fight on this card featuring TJ Dillashaw. We're going to talk about that and more right now with our next guest, Larry Pepe. He's the host of Pro MMA Radio. Larry, as always, a pleasure. I appreciate it. It's been far too long, so thank you.
Absolutely.
Let's dive right into it. We'll go to UFC 217, which is actually coming up this Saturday. It's the return of George St. Pierre. This is one of the guys that, I'm going to say, being a casual, lighthearted MMA guy, he's one that I really look forward to watching in the cage. And maybe it's because I've seen this guy do tremendous stuff in the stand-up game. But with that being said, the return of someone who has such a illustrious career, who has been so important to the growth of mixed martial arts, and the very little buzz that comes along with this fight against Michael Bisping is somewhat shocking in my eyes here, Larry.
Yeah, and first off, props to you for remembering when George St. Pierre bothered to strike, because once he got knocked out by Matt Serra, he became a virtual wrestling decision machine. And as much as fans loved him for his personality, his look, he was very marketable, he took deserved criticism towards the end of his career for, you know, always taking guys to the mat and just playing it safe. That said, you're right. There is an unexpected, very low buzz for the return of the greatest welterweight of all time. And I think there might be multiple factors for that. The first is that he's not fighting at welterweight. He's fighting at middleweight. He's been gifted a title shot because we are in the age of what I call UFEC, the Ultimate Fighting Entertainment Company. And this is, it's all about money fights now. It's not about who deserves it. It's not about any of that. And they completely mismanaged his return. They announced it early in the year, like February, March. I believe it was February. Then I believe in March, they did a press conference with him and Michael Bisping in Vegas. They did not have a fight to announce. They announced that they were fighting, but they never gave a date. They never gave a time. They never gave a place. So fans were kind of left with, okay, he's back. He's fighting Bisping for the middleweight title, even though he's never won a fight or had a fight at middleweight in his entire life. And we don't know when it is, where it is, or anything like that. So I think that was completely botched. Then we find out that when George St. Pierre signed to come back, that he told the UFC that he couldn't fight till the end of the year because he had an eye injury. So why you would do a press conference in March and Dana White do interviews back then that they were targeting July, when George St. Pierre had already told you, I can't fight till October or November, is asinine. And I think it created this, you know, you get people excited about something, then you don't give them a date, then you tell them, oh yeah, it's going to be 7 or 8 months from now. That's just not the way this works. And I think that was a huge part of why the whole thing has kind of fallen flat. I think the other thing, though, Jordan, and this is the part that should be more concerning for the promotion, because screwing up his return, you could say, is a one-off. But I think there's a bigger issue at play, because this is a fantastic card. And I am very straightforward. I don't BS my listeners, and I don't BS yours. I've come on air and said, don't buy this card because this card sucks. It's not worth your money. This card is fantastic, not because of St. Pierre Bisping, but that's not even the best fight on the card. The best fight on the card is TJ Dillashaw versus Cody Garbrandt. that's a fantastic fight. I'm sure we'll get to that in a minute. Namajunas versus Joanna for the 115-pound belt. While a lot of people think that Joanna's going to run her over, I don't. I think that's going to be a hell of a fight. And Stephen Wonderboy Thompson versus George Masvidal is a fantastic fight as well. So this is a loaded main card with the return of the greatest welterweight of all time, who was also, in terms of gross total number of pay-per-views, the highest-selling fighter in mixed martial arts history. And the idea that the fans have not kind of rallied behind this, the card isn't even sold out at Madison Square Garden, for God's sakes, really kind of makes you start to think that the UFC botched the entire way that they're running the promotion. Because now, if it's not Rousey who's gone, so we can put her out of the equation, or McGregor, or a huge bad blood fight with Jones and Cormier, which did 850,000 buys, but nothing else this year has done anything of note. If it's not McGregor, you've basically gone so far all in on Conor that it's almost like the fans are waiting for whenever he's going to fight, and the rest of these cards are not what they should be. And it's a shame, because the beauty to the UFC years ago was that it was about the brand. The fans trusted the brand so much that if they announced that they were doing a pay-per-view at such and such location and you didn't even know what all the fights were yet, they'd sell out in 24 or 48 hours. And now here we are the week of the return of the, maybe, in some people's eyes, best mixed martial artist of all time, at a minimum, the best welterweight who has ever stepped in the cage. And there's just not that feeling of a big fight that you would expect.
Again, we're being joined right now by Larry Pepe of Pro MMA Radio. We'll hear more about his show in just a moment. Larry, I don't want to go too far away from the actual fight card, but you said something, and maybe this is a really simplistic way of me looking at things. And again, this probably also kind of sheds some light on the fact that I'm not a hardcore UFC or MMA guy. You call it UFEC, the Ultimate Fighting Entertainment Championship. The belts today obviously don't mean what they did 3-4 years ago, and boxing has ran into this problem. I don't even think people care if there's a WBA, WBC belt on the line. I don't think anyone cares about that anymore as far as the spectators go. Is this all working hand in hand with a $4 billion sale? Is that where this is that what it boils down to as far as giving fighters title opportunities that in your mind probably don't necessarily deserve them? Is that what it boils down to? Is it that easy?
It's not quite that easy. I believe that the trend had started before the sale and has gone on steroids since the sale. You know, that's why I do, like on my show, I'm not joking, that's what I call it, because I think it's become an entertainment company as much as a sports promotion. And that's a shame, because the UFC is really the steward, if you will, of mixed martial arts in most people's minds. And I think when you're doing, to your point, all these interim belts, like it became like a punchline, because they have this misdirected idea that you have to have a title on the line at these pay-per-views. So that's why they have way too many divisions, so the sport is getting more and more diluted. They have too many women's divisions, and they have all these interim belts that are worthless in the fans' eyes. And the punchline, really, Jordan, is that when they've put these interim belts on the line, the pay-per-views have not sold at all. They did Tony Ferguson versus Kevin Lee for the interim 155-pound belt. It did between 100,000 and 200,000 buys, which is horrendous, depending on which estimates you believe. They did another interim belt at 145 a while back with Max Holloway and Anthony Pettis. It sold less than 200. Again, a complete flop. So the fans aren't falling for it. And the funny thing is that the best card they've done, the highest pay-per-view numbers they've done in the last 2 years, was Conor McGregor, Nate Diaz, both of their fights, and there was no belt on the line. So that should be proof that fans want good competitive fights that they have a reason to be interested in. They don't want fake belts because you can then put championship fight on your fight poster.
Yep.
And it is becoming like boxing, where with boxing you have the different organizations, and with the UFC, instead of different organizations, you have interim belts. So at some point, the belts are going to become more and more meaningless, and that's a shame because that is a move in the direction of entertainment over sport.
Well, that being said, Larry, I want to dive into a couple of these bouts. Michael Bisping, George St. Pierre, how do you see this one shaping out?
You know what? It is a very challenging fight to handicap for one reason. George St. Pierre hasn't fought in 4 years, and he hasn't fought middleweight his whole life. So what body of evidence do we have to know who George St. Pierre is today with 4 years of cage rust on him and who he is at middleweight? So it's a tough fight to handicap. We know that he is an exceptional wrestler who relies on possibly the best timing on his takedowns of any fighter we've ever seen across mixed martial arts. We know striking-wise, he's no slouch. He's a good striker. Bisping, the big difference to me, Jordan, is the size. Bisping used to fight at 205. He is the 185-pound champion, I believe, in some cases through luck and circumstance, but he maximized his opportunities. I think there are a number of fighters at 185 pounds who are much better than him, and I think he's done a masterful job avoiding having to fight any of them and getting a big money fight against George St. Pierre. St. Pierre, if he can't take Bisping down, then it becomes a striking battle. And Bisping's takedown defense was exceptional early in his career, looked terrible against Tim Kennedy in his first fight back after an eye injury, and has been like so-so since. So can St. Pierre get him down? Probably. Can he get him down with regularity and ease like he did fighters at 175 pounds? Absolutely not. And I think Bisping has more power. George usually has a significant cardio advantage. That won't be the case here. They're both exceptional athletes from a cardiovascular standpoint. This is a 51-49 fight for me, but I favor Bisping just slightly because I do think that the size difference matters, and I think the inactivity, granted, Bisping hasn't fought in a year either, but a year versus 4 years is an awful lot of time to not be in a live fight. And I think that favors Michael. The other factor is the mental. Michael's tough as nails. George is tough, but no one's even raising whether George should even be fighting, because the last time we saw him in a cage was when he walked away after the Hendricks fight, and he was complaining about a litany of neurological issues that might suggest that there were things going on with his brain. So is he going to panic when he starts to get hit, or if he takes big shots from Bisping? It's very possible. So I favor Bisping slightly, and I say that with an asterisk because not having seen a guy in 4 years, we have no idea what to expect from George St. Pierre.
You did mention the Cody Garbrandt and the TJ Dillashaw match. You like this one best on the card. Bantamweight, well, it is a title fight as well, right? A bantamweight title fight.
100%. This fight, you know, it's not that often in any combat sport that we get that perfect collision of time and athlete and place, and we have it here. These two guys legitimately hate each other. They used to be training partners at Team Alpha Male, and then Dillashaw left. He says he was kicked out. Other people say because they felt he was disloyal. He wanted to go train with another team. He and Garbrandt were training partners. Garbrandt has gone on a tear. So there is significant, real bad blood between them, not manufactured like a lot of fights. That aside, athletically, they are the number one and number two 135-pound fighters in the world right now. You don't get that often. They are both in their athletic prime, so we're getting them at their best. You know, this isn't Mayweather and Manny 5 years after everybody wanted it to happen. It's happening exactly when it should happen. And they're both on a tear. They have both looked absolutely phenomenal in their last couple of fights. Of course, Garbrandt's last fight was beating Dominic Cruz, who had narrowly beaten Dillashaw to take the title from him, and that's how Garbrandt got it. Garbrandt is a unique cat at 135 pounds because you don't get a lot of small fighters like this who have one-punch knockout power or one-punch change the direction of the fight power, and Cody does. TJ doesn't. TJ is a bit more technical, a bit more diverse. I believe that TJ, if he's smart, will use a lot of leg kicks because he trains with Dwayne Ludwig, who is a Muay Thai specialist. And the one knock I would say on the guys from Team Alpha Male is they're not very good in dealing with leg kicks. So I think that'll be TJ's strategy, and TJ is going to want to take Cody down. TJ's a very good wrestler, and he does not want to stand with Cody any longer than he has to because Cody is always one shot away from putting him to sleep. The problem for TJ is Cody's no slouch in the wrestling department either. He was a multiple-time All-State champion in Ohio, and Ohio is like the hotbed breeding ground for wrestling in the United States. So I think it's going to be hard for TJ to take Cody down. It's why I favor Cody to win the fight. Because if you tell me that Cody Garbrandt is going to be in a stand-up fight with anyone at 135 pounds, I'm going to pick him to win. And I think the other little X factor, Jordan, is that Cody has trained with TJ. Yes, TJ has trained with Cody, but all of Cody's coaches were TJ's former coaches. So I believe that they know TJ and can mimic TJ and prepare Cody for TJ better than anyone that TJ works with can prepare him for Cody. So I definitely favor Garbrandt in the fight.
Again, Larry Pepe, Pro MMA Radio, breaking down UFC 217. Larry, we're running out of time with the segment. Let the listeners know where they can find more of your work.
Absolutely. Just follow me on Twitter, at Larry Pepe, last four letters, P-E-P-E. And ProMMAradio.com is the website. And anyone who serves in the U.S. military or knows anyone who does, thank you for your service. We are also the official radio show for the military worldwide on the American Forces Network, the Voice Channel, which goes everywhere that we have military throughout the world, and that is on Saturdays at 5 p.m. Pacific.
Larry, it's always so much fun to get you on the show. It's been far too long. We got to do it again soon.
Sounds good to me, Jordan.
Always fun to get Larry Pepe on the show and talk a little MMA. Again, UFC 217, it's going down this Saturday. We've got a break for just a moment. More Drive Time Sports coming up when we return here on KOAL 107.3 FM and 750 AM.
Your car hasn't been running right, and you finally have a weekend free to start working on it. Well, lucky for you, J&D Automotive has extended their Saturday hours to help you get what you need to get the job done. J&D Auto's parts department will be open from 9 to 5 on Saturdays. At J&D Auto, you'll find name brand parts and an expert staff who can make sure you're getting all you need to get the job done right. The next time you're looking for the right part to get the job done, head to J&D Automotive on Main Street in Castledale. And now on Saturdays from 9 to 5.
Castle Country Radio and USU Eastern are teaming up to bring you a special one-night-only event on Thursday, December 14th for the premiere showing of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi at the Price Theater on Main Street. General admission tickets for this one-night-only event are currently on sale at Castle Country Radio on Carbonville Road and online at KOALBargainBin.com. General admission ticket prices are just $10, and that includes a special lanyard-style ticket, entrance to a character meet-and-greet featuring the 501st, entrance to the special event at 5 p.m., and of course, the first showing of Star Wars Episode 8, The Last Jedi, at the Price Theater. Tickets for this one-night-only event are limited, so get them now at Castle Country Radio on Carbonville Road or online at KOALBargainBin.com. Castle Country Radio and USU Eastern special fan event for Star Wars Episode 8 taking place at the Price Theater on Thursday, December 14th.
Check everything off your Christmas list this year with the help of Desert View Federal Credit Union. Come into a branch today and take advantage of their low-rate holiday loan special. Just in time for the holidays, you can borrow up to $1,000 for just 7.99% for 12 months. That's a whole lot more jingle in your pocket, which means you can spread a lot more Christmas cheer. Desert View Federal Credit Union, your holiday helper.
Membership and eligibility apply. Loans on approved credit. Member NCUA.
Listen to Drive Time Sports, weekdays 4 to 5 on News Talk, 107.3 FM and 7.50 AM, KOAL.
KOAL, Price, Utah.